Kenny Holston. You know, Kenny's doing great things, working for the New York Times now. He was a student ours of an IPC a number of years ago and a great Air Force photojournalist, and now working with the New York Times. And you watch how he shoots things and what he does, and I can look at his work and I can see, oh, I see where he learned that. I remember, you know, teaching that. You know, and they do all the work. You see students go out and do great things. And there's a lot of pride that comes with that. But as an instructor, there's certainly some satisfaction in that, knowing that you got to be a part, got to be a part of that.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for this episode of the DINFOS Way, developed and produced at the Defense Information School. This program is dedicated to developing and showcasing the skills of military communicators, public affairs professionals, and industry experts from all over the world. I'm your host, Jack Rouse. I'm a former Navy and civilian journalist and a current training specialist here at DINFOS. Joining us today is Mr. Justin Pyle, a DINFOS instructor and master of the studio department in the schoolhouse. First of all, can you just tell me a little bit about your background, whatever you want to tell us about how you got here and how you became a DINFOS instructor?
Well, I started out, I've had a camera in my hands as long as I can actually remember. As a kid, I took pictures of everything. Small cameras, had small little 110 cameras, and then Polaroid cameras and stuff like that. But we started getting into 35 millimeter work in high school, and yearbook and newspaper photography, and then started working for a rock magazine when I was 16, and started shooting for a whitewater rafting industry, and did that for about 7 years until I came in the service at 21, and I've loved it. Had a great career doing it. Been all over. I was at Charleston, a combat camera, first combat camera squadron out of there. I went through the advanced course when it was still at Rochester Institute of Technology back in the mid-90s. I'll date myself a little bit here. I've just loved it. Did two tours with the Air Force Thunderbirds as their photographer.
Wow.
So got to travel the world, got to see some stuff, got to that was fun, and then got to do some combat photography. Obviously, I was in Bosnia during the war, Africa, a bunch of times, Iraq, Afghanistan, things like that. And then in 2008, came here as an instructor when I left the Thunderbirds, because I always knew that I kind of wanted to just give back to the career field that had given me so much, come back here and be an instructor. Got to do that. And so did 4 years as an instructor, then retired in 2012. And so I was became a contractor, taught IPC for 7 years. And then now I'm teaching the MCF course, Mass Communication Foundation course. So,
man, what was it like working two tours with the Thunderbirds? What was that like?
It was great. I mean, I loved it. I mean, people see a lot of the glitz and glamour, but it's a working squadron like anything else. So you do the regular photography that goes along with that. Yeah. One of it being a lot of the studio work, because we do a lot of commercial work there, obviously. A lot of recruiting and retention stuff. We make a lot of commercial advertising, make pretty white planes look good. So not so much photojournalism, but the definitely controlled environment work. And then got lucky enough to get pulled back a second time. Stars just aligned right. They needed somebody to come in that could hit the ground running, and I had the opportunity to do that. So it was good to do it. I had everybody ask me, they're like, because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of time on the road.
Oh, yeah. People don't realize.
Yeah. And people that had been on the team with me the first time, like, what are you doing? You know, people would ask, do you like it? I said, well, if I didn't like it, I wouldn't be doing it twice.
Yeah. You know,
same thing with being an instructor. I mean, I've been here since 2008. So if I didn't like it, I wouldn't have stayed here this long. So I really enjoy it here.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's always nice to talk to other instructors who have a longer tenure than I do at this point. I always occasionally feel like the old man. So thank you for not making me feel like that today. I appreciate that. So again, you teach studio photography primarily now. I mean, obviously you teach anything in MCF, but
right.
You are clearly the master of studio photography. The work that you put out is incredible. Thank you for taking my passport photo. I appreciate that. But no, you do a phenomenal job, and I don't think people realize how important studio skills are and how much they differ from out in the world photography for that
right.
uncontrolled action stuff, because you're manipulating the lighting environment in a very specific way. So right. Talk to me about what studio photography is.
Well, I mean, it comes down to really, what is photography to begin with, right? If we go back and you take the Greek terminology of photography, it basically means writing with light, right? So controlling light, writing with it, it's the tool that we use as photographers to create art, to create those things. And if we don't have light, then we don't have anything. You don't have an exposure. So how do you control that? And the one place that you really have ultimate control of that is in the studio, right? In a studio environment, I control main lights, back lights, hair lights, everything that's lit, I get a control. So it's the beginning. It's almost even, I wouldn't say the crawl phase, but certainly the slow walk phase where students start understanding this thing that they have to use in the outside world all the time. And then how do I control that? Because photography, and especially when you're starting to add supplemental lighting into it, basically you're adding supplemental light because you have a problem. How do I fix that problem? Mm-hmm. I don't have enough light in here. So even just using a flash is still being able to control light and move light around. And so in the studio, when you have ultimate control, I have control of every light, but I also have control of subject, control of pose, and control of everything else. I can learn those basic fundamental skills there and then take that outside of that and start understanding how to do that in the outside world, outside of the studio. So it's a fundamental importance of understanding what light does. And I think in the studio, you really get a chance to do that.
Which is, again, it's very interesting to hear you talk about and continue to verify for folks and for anyone listening who's maybe a prospective student that the skills that we teach you here are very much the skills that professionals walk out of any educational establishment with and with the same abilities that those folks would have. Because again, you're teaching people the skills that are duplicated every day on magazine covers all around the world. So again, fundamental skills that are incredibly useful for anyone in this career field.
Right. Absolutely. And in fact, like I said, you can connect this into video, right? Because that environmental, that video interview that you have, whether it be in a studio or an environment, starts out with that basic lighting pattern. Watch any of the news channels between, 60 Minutes, CBS Sunday Morning, anybody that does really good interview and sets up something like that, you can break it down and you can learn by just by watching that. Look at their lighting patterns. Look at their lighting setups. See what they do and deconstruct those. Mm-hmm. If you see something that's very nice, take a picture of it and then try to reconstruct it. That's how you learn.
100%. And thank you for shouting them out, because CBS is my favorite. CBS Evening News is my favorite. Steve Hartman is probably my favorite reporter.
CBS Sunday Morning is a wonderful feature story.
So great. It's been good for 30 years. So what are some of the challenges that you see students have when you first start teaching them?
I think some of it, the biggest challenge for students is to slow down because they want to move very fast. They want to get it done, and things like that. And I had an old maintenance officer tell me one time, he said, slow is fast, right? Slow is fast. And if you do it right the first time, you don't have to go back. And so the understanding of that, being on a tripod, so it's recreatable all the time, putting a camera on a tripod, make sure my settings are correct. Which will slow you down and then work that one light at a time. Look where my main light is. Okay, so that's what we talked about a little bit about main light. And then we'll go to the secondary light, your fill light. Your fill light is on axis of camera. It's right on camera. A lot of people want to put it off camera. They want it the opposite side because they're thinking, oh, my shadow's on that side. So I need to fill in the other side of the shadow. So I'm going to put the other light on the other side. And that's not really what that secondary light's for. That secondary light should see everything that your camera sees. So it's filling in every light that your camera sees, not that you see or that the shadows is on the person from a different direction. The other thing that does is, especially I like to use round umbrellas or a round softbox in that, because since it's on axis of camera, it's going straight into the person. And so the catch light that you have in the eye is a circle right in the pupil, which gives you very much an alive eye, call it live eyes, not dull eyes, not those, that black over eyes. It gives you a good catch light in the eye, which really, really sparks up an image. And I see a lot of people will kind of miss that and the application of it. So we have that. And that'll also give us what we call our ratio. How dark is that shadow? Okay. If I don't need a main light at all, if I want it really dramatic and no shadow there, then don't put a light in there. So that light that's filling in that shadow is three stops different than my main light. Stop and a half, three times more light, or less light, sorry. Three times less light than my than my main light. Mm-hmm. And so that'll fill in that shadow. The shadow will still be there, but it's just not going to be as dark. Okay. And you can control the level of that by how powerful that flash is or how powerful that light is. And then we go to our backlight. So our backlight or background light just creates separation between subject and background, right? Because we want to separate our subject from our background. And we normally shoot it on a black background. And if people are wearing a dark shirt or a dark uniform, right? We don't want them blending into the background, right? So we put a backlight, we hit the background with a little bit of light, usually rim out the shoulders. When we get into different types of studios and stuff like that, for instance, the studio that I have here in the school that I photograph our instructors with and faculty, I have multiple lights. I have another light, I have a hair light, so that somebody has dark hair, right? You don't want that blending into the background. So I'll hit a light on the top of their head, on their hair to separate that from background. And then we have a flag in the background. And so I have another light on the flag. Because the basic concepts is anything that I want a consistent light on, that I want a consistent exposure on, should have a light on it. And then the other thing that I did want to mention when we get into studio is like we start out with basic definitions. Like most people don't know there's different types of portraits, mm-hmm. you know, and we're in the studio. You know, we have formal portraits, the ones that, you know, your head and shoulders with the flag. You know, there's your formal portraits, the ones that you see up on roster boards and things like that. And then you have personality portraits. Now, personality portraits are about the person, right? It's not about the background. So the very limited backgrounds, maybe one prop, if any, go out and look at some of the stuff by Richard Avedon, great photographer. And usually there's about the person. Mark Seliger is another one, Vanity Fair and Rolling Stone. And it's very much about the person, very, very little about the environment. You know, so it's about the expression. Maybe one prop, maybe a guitar, maybe something like that. Maybe I see Johnny Cash with a guitar, Willie Nelson with a microphone or something like that. One small prop, but not a lot. And then we have environmental portraiture. This becomes all about the environment. You know, how does that person relate to their environment? You know, the 65-year-old guy that owns the little pizza place, you know, putting back there by the pizza oven and light him and photograph him with a wood-burning, you know, stove in the background or whatever it happens to be. And those are your guys where you go out and you look at Joe McNally's work, you know, and see how he works and see how he does light. And I'll, you know, Joe's been a great friend to the school and a great friend to the military. And so I'll give him a little shout out. Go look at his work. And he has a great blog too. And he'll show you anything. He's a great teacher and will show you how he lights stuff. And he'll, if you look at his blog, will actually deconstruct a lot of his photos so that other people can learn from them. He's been a great mentor to a lot of us.
And that's another thing that's important to note, because again, our primary mission is to support the warfighters and to make sure that we're making sure that we are promoting the communications mission of the overall service. And while we're doing that, we can't do that if we are not trained enough to do it rapidly, successfully, professionally, and as close to perfect as we can every time. And I think that's where we really succeed here, is because with the crawl, walk, run philosophy, they practice so many things, and they get all of this hands-on time with really amazing instructors who have a lot of great professional skills. And that, I think, sets them up for a more successful career than anything else here, is just how many practical applications of the skill sets that we teach them that they're required to do right away.
Right. And I think that, you know, and the idea with that is that it's ever evolving. You never quit learning. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to practice. The only way to get better at anything is the only way to be a better photographer is put a camera in your hands. You know, the only way you do anything, I mean, that's a life skill. You know, anything that you want to do and do well, you have to give attention to, and you have to put in time. So you want to be a great quarterback. You're gonna have to throw some footballs. You know, you can't just go out and do it. This isn't intuitive. These are a skill set that you need to learn, and it takes time in order to do that. And it's going to take a lot of your own time. And I tell that to students a lot. I'm like, if you just do, you know, 9 to 5, if you just do the schoolwork and you don't do this any other time, even when you're out in the fleet and field, if you just do it in your normal work hours and you don't put in the practice and the time, you'll never get better. You need to put in the time to do it. You know, how good do you want to be? Well, how much time are you willing to spend? you know, and you get better over time. I tell people all the time, I'm a better photographer now than I was 20 years ago. Some of the reasons, because one, I teach it, so I have to be better. I enjoy it, you know, and I learn things from students all the time, so I get better. And I perform this all the time, and you just get better as you go. So I think that's something that we really hammer home here, or try to hammer home to students, is that you're going to have to put in the time to get this done.
Can you share any success stories from students who've come through the course that have hit you back up afterwards and said, man, Mr. Pyle, thanks so much for teaching me X, Y, or Z technique, or hey, I utilized the studio technique doing this thing and it was really great. Thanks.
Well, I think that what you see is you see guys that take what they learn from you, and then the whole idea, and I tell students this a lot, is that I'm not trying to make you me. Right? I'm trying to make you a better you, because this is about your style. How are you going to spin this? How are you going to do that? And I say that, one example that I give students, I say, you know, give me a list of great directors, you know, and they'll give you Scorsese and run down the list, right? Lucas and all these guys. And I say, do you think any one of them are technically better than the other? And the answer is usually no. Once you get to a certain level, everybody's technically good. What sets them apart is style. So how do you do this thing? So that's my question to them. How are you going to do this? How are you going to take what I teach you and put your style on it? You know, and you see a lot of students come back and you start seeing them evolve and do things like that. And I, you know, we'll throw a shout out to Air Force and DINFOS alumni. Kenny Holston. You know, Kenny's doing great things, working for the New York Times now. He was a student ours of an IPC a number of years ago, and a great Air Force photojournalist, and now working with the New York Times. And you watch how he shoots things and what he does. And I can look at his work and I can see, oh, I see where he learned that. I remember, you know, teaching that, you know, and they do all the work. You see students go out and do great things. And there's a lot of pride that comes with that. And they do all the work. But as an instructor, there's certainly some satisfaction in that, knowing that you got to be a part, got to be a part of that.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. You know, we could sit here and talk all day about how rewarding it is to be an instructor here.
Right.
And sort of to leave our legacy behind with these great communicators that are going out and doing incredible things. That's what I hope translates to our listeners here who may be interested in the course. You know, you get to join the ranks and be one of those people. So
right.
It's such a great opportunity.
I tell students all the time, as long as I've been doing this, I'll date myself for real right now. I'm 58 years old. You know, I've been working professionally a long time and doing this a long time. And I see students come through, and there's a part of me that's jealous. I look at them and I see the adventure that they're about to embark on, the adventure that I got to do and have a great time doing, had a great career doing it. And I'm a little jealous to see that they get to go out and they get to take the ball and run with it. You know, I tell the students also, I'm like, look, I carried the ball for as far as I carried it. You know, now it's your turn. Take it. Be better. Be better than me. You know, I want you to be better than all of us. You know, the idea is that with legacy is seeing those people go out and do great things. You know, yeah, we've also realized that I kind of distilled it down. I actually only teach two things. I teach what somebody taught me really well, that worked really well. Okay. Or I teach what I wish somebody would have taught me that took years to learn. You know, take that experience that I have and hand it back. Say, don't make the same mistakes I made. Learn from me, you know? And there's some things in studio and there's some things in visual variety and storytelling and things like that that I tell students. I go, if you just learned this, you're 10 years ahead of me. Because it took me a decade before I started putting that into practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to make a ton of mistakes to do it. So please take advantage of the experience that's sitting in front of you and use it.
If it's one thing I have discovered by being an instructor here for a long time now, is that 50% of what we teach is the lesson plan, and the other 50% of what we teach comes directly from our own experience, because the people here are so extraordinarily talented and have done this professionally for such a long period of time that we have made all of those mistakes.
Right.
And we
right,
actively exactly. try to prevent other people from making them.
Yeah, please don't make the same mistakes I made. Please. You right. know what I mean? You know, but that's, you know, that's wisdom a little bit. And sometimes,
absolutely.
And sometimes people just have to go make those mistakes.
For sure.
To learn from them. And hopefully you do that mistake, you'd make those mistakes on your own. You go out and practice and make those mistakes, or make those mistakes here in school. And don't make those mistakes in the fleet and field. Like, you know, forgetting to make sure that the camera loaded the film and shoot an entire chief master sergeant's, you know, retirement ceremony, and the film never grabbed, so not one picture came out. You know, let's not make that mistake. Make sure you know, the SD card that you put in the camera works.
Yep, your batteries are charged, et cetera, et cetera.
Right, exactly.
Thank you again, Justin, for coming on. Last question I'm going to have for you is just any other extra aspiring tips or things that you think young communicators or aspiring communicators need to know about photo or studio or anything about our career field?
Yeah, I think one thing that because this is such a fast-paced course, right? I don't know the exact numbers, but they, you know, you do so many credit hours and so much time and stuff like that. And we do a pretty good job as a technical school and a trade school of teaching those things. I think some of the thing that we lack that I wish we could do more of, and I think you get in a regular college sometime, is that idea of, you know, you do at least a year of art history or something like that. And what I don't think we do is find those inspirations. What inspires you to be better? Who are your mentors? Who are the people that you look at that you go, man, I want to do that. I wish I could do that. And I don't think that students a lot of time can, or even military photographers a lot of times, can go back and who are your inspirations? You know, and I mean, mine are Mark Seliger, Mary Ellen Mark. You know, I can look at these, Sebastian Salgado. I can look right back at those photographers, and I can see, and I know where I started looking their work at first and what they did to me and how I was inspired by their work or mentored by their work, and find those things. So if I could give some advice to young students, go find out what you like, kind of why you like it, what you want to do, even if it's not military work. You know what I mean? Maybe you just like taking pictures of flowers. Fine. Go take pictures of flowers. Find a great, great flower photographer. Go find somebody that does that really well. Be inspired by that, because you'll take that learning and you'll take that inspiration. You know, you'll take all the stuff that you learned there and you'll bring it over here to the military stuff. You'll bring it inside this, you know, and it'll keep you fresh and new and inspired, keep you hungry, passionate. And I think that's something that when you're passionate about something, you naturally put in more time on it, you know, and you'll naturally get better. So be passionate, be hungry, and that would probably be my, if I could give a piece of advice, you know, to students, go and find what you like, find inspirations, find the great names, because we do that with everything else. If you like playing football or like watching football, you can tell me who your favorite quarterback is, favorite running back, favorite defensive end, things like that. People can rattle off stats, but if I ask you if you're a photographer, and I ask you who your favorite photographer is, you can't give me a name. Maybe you should ask the question.
That's great advice, man. And again, also one more thing that I liked about your last answer there was to find that mentor. It's something I tell students all the time. Yeah. You know, you're going to go out into this career field. You're going to find incredible military communicators or incredible communicators, period, out there in the civilian world too. People that you admire, people whose work you appreciate. Attach yourself to those people. Learn from them. Be that sponge who absorbs all of the skills and techniques they have and add that stuff to your own toolbox, because it's just going to make you a better communicator.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the things in the career field. If you do a lot of workshops and stuff like that, like I have, you'll find in the community, there's a kind of a motto that we all live by. It's give it back as freely as you got it. Because all of us, when I was young, I had people that mentored me and showed me things. So when do you switch over and become that mentor for somebody else? You know, and the idea is, you know, you should always have one hand up and one hand down. You have one hand up reaching up to a mentor to help you out. And you should always have one hand down mentoring somebody else and helping somebody else out, wherever you're at, wherever you are in your career.
Absolutely. 100% agree. On that note, big shout out to former Petty Officer, Navy Petty Officer Richie Tolan, who was my mentor when I was a young journalist, still out there in the world. Maybe I'll get him to listen in on this episode. Certainly made me a better journalist. So yeah, find those people whose work you appreciate. Find those mentors, learn from them, and it will make you better. And I've got to say, you're one of the great mentors here in this building. So thanks for joining us on the show today. I really appreciate it. I think this was a great episode. And I even learned a lot from you today, Justin. So thanks for coming on.
Thanks. I enjoyed it. Thanks for asking me.
Appreciate it. Well, hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
Absolutely.